So I hope you'll turn with me back to Mark chapter 8. Have that in front of you. We do like to take the Bible very seriously at Knockbreda, and it will be helpful to me and to you if you have that open in front of you, page 1011. As you do that, we want to thank Rebecca for playing for us this morning so well while Andrew's in Germany. Both our boys, Sam and Mark, are red-green colourblind, which is a common enough thing. It means that even though Sam is really interested in art at school, he much prefers to sketch and shade with an HB pencil rather than use colours. And we noticed at first when he was painting sunsets with skies that were more green than red. And before anyone asks, red-green colour blindness doesn't mean you can't drive. In fact, I even knew an electrical engineer who was red-green colour blind, and he somehow was able to cope, even though red and green are significant colours in wiring. Colour blindness isn't that serious. Real blindness is much more difficult, but spiritual blindness is the worst of all. And we're continuing to read through the Gospel of Mark, as we were from September, and we're at the halfway point as we head from September through to Easter. And our reading today from Mark is about spiritual blindness, spiritual sight. And we could say that in Jesus we find the spiritual eye specialist. He's the optician who provides the treatment, a very special kind of treatment, for a very special kind of spiritual blindness. There were three stories actually in today's reading, and Mark, the gospel writer, has drawn them each together because they're each to do with seeing who Jesus is. And Mark begins by showing us that seeing who Jesus is not natural. The first story has Jesus in a boat with his disciples. He's left behind him the Pharisees, his enemies, who have been asking him for a sign to test him. He's actually just performed an amazing sign, the feeding of the 4,000, but that's not good enough for the Pharisees. They are hardened against him. And we too must be wary of always asking God for a miraculous sign if it is to test him. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, says the commandment. So Jesus refuses to give another sign to the Pharisees, and he's in the boat with his disciples, and he warns the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. It is a cryptic sort of a statement, but Jesus is warning his followers not to be infected by the same attitude as the Pharisees, not to be always looking for a sign. Otherwise, like yeast, the Pharisees' mindset would spread to them. But the disciples don't get Jesus' meaning. They've forgotten to bring any bread, and when they hear Jesus talk about leaven, they think that he's referring to real physical bread. They're so slow to learn. But look with me at verse 15 of chapter 8 to see what Jesus really means. He hears his disciples muttering in the boat in verse 15, and he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" We'll just leave it there. The disciples' minds are so dull. They're not thinking along the same lines as Jesus at all. But of course, it's not that they're stupid. Their problem is in their hearts. Those hearts are hardened. Verse 17. The problem is in their eyes. They are blind. Verse 18. The problem is in their ears. They are deaf. Verse 18. We're about to get to the turning point in Mark's gospel, where the disciples make this amazing confession of Christ. But Mark wants to show us what they were like before the confession. What we are all like before we come to Christ and confess who he is. We're all by nature spiritually blind. That's our natural condition. By nature, we just don't get Jesus. Our hearts and eyes and ears are hard, blind, and deaf. And we know that that describes so many people around us. They just don't get Jesus or how crucial he is. It's not that they're unintelligent. I'm sure we can all think of people who are very well educated, but who cannot see the relevance of Jesus Christ to them. They may even have been educated in the things of God, coming to Sunday school as a child, coming to church, possibly week by week as an adult, and yet are not really seeing that Jesus Christ is the gateway into the kingdom. They hear bits and pieces about him, they know about religion, but they cannot see with the eyes of faith the importance of this one man. Now, of course, none of us understands Christianity perfectly. Even the knowledge of a senior Christian is always imperfect. And for someone who's just become a Christian, well, he or she only sees a very limited amount of God's truth. He or she will make a lot of mistakes until he grows in the knowledge of God's word and his truth, and in seeing more and more clearly what Christ has done for him or her. There's a lot of learning for all of us to do. But for the non-Christian, whether he's religious and church-going or not, his blindness is total. Because until you put on Christian spectacles, until you put on spiritual glasses, your vision of Jesus is seriously impaired. He will always be just an irrelevant stained glass figure. And that's the natural condition for everyone. We're each born like that. We're born without the right spiritual glasses on. We're born with kind of spiritual cataracts. The Pharisees are like that here in Mark. They have no understanding, no respect for Jesus. They want to test him. They demand signs from him to prove himself. They are religious leaders, but they are blind to Christ. Just as even the disciples are. They've been with Jesus at this point for years. They've been privileged to see the greatest miracles and signs in history. But still, their spiritual eyesight is woeful, because by nature, their hearts are hard. And that sums up that first episode in this morning's reading. Seeing who Jesus is just not natural. The disciples could not do it. And by ourselves, we cannot either. Our second point comes from the next story in Mark's Gospel. And we notice how Mark has deliberately laid these stories side by side. And our point is this time that seeing who Jesus is a miracle. Because we have here a miraculous opening of eyes performed by the Lord Jesus on the blind man from Bethsaida. Let's have a look, please, at the actual healing of this man down in verse 23. So some people have brought him to the Lord, and verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Well, the first thing that we notice here is that Jesus leads the blind man out of the village. Jesus is not going to be a sideshow. In fact, this is just going to be a private lesson for the disciples. He takes the man away from the crowd because he's got something to teach only his disciples. They've still got so much to learn, and so do we. So Jesus takes time personally to teach us. If you will open yourself up to the Bible, he will personally teach you many truths. At the end of chapter 7, Jesus healed a deaf and mute man. You might remember that from before Christmas. And that healing shows that Jesus is the Messiah. He was the special king promised in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah, when he came, would heal the deaf and make the mute speak. And of course, the same Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would also heal the blind, which is exactly what Jesus is doing. So he's saying, as he performs this miracle, look, I am God's specially anointed king. I can heal the deaf and the blind. I am the Son of God. And the disciples each needed to learn this. But as the Son of God, he did not come simply to restore physical sight. He's not offering laser-free treatment to the blind. No, we're not talking about physical sight here, but about spiritual sight. He's come to open our eyes to who he really is. As we've said already, seeing who Jesus is, truly seeing him, is just not natural. It takes a special touch from Christ himself. In fact, it takes a miracle. And the miracle here in Mark chapter 8 is exceptionally unusual. Now, any miracle is unusual, but this one is exceptional because it occurs in two stages. First, Jesus uses spittle and lays his hands on the blind man. After that, the man says, yes, he can see, but not clearly. Men walking around seem like trees moving. They appear blurred and out of focus. So Jesus lays his hands on again, and this time his sight is restored perfectly. 20/20 vision. But why does Jesus take two attempts to get it right? Perhaps you wondered that as we read the story. Why did he not just do it the first time? He healed other blind men in one go. Why not this one? Well, it's not that he can't do it. No, Jesus is deliberately illustrating something for us here in this miracle. And it is that, to begin with, spiritually speaking, we often do not see things clearly and distinctly. When someone becomes a Christian, their understanding is limited. Their sight is blurred. Yes, they've entered into the kingdom of God. Yes, they've been introduced to a whole new world. But the brightness and the splendor of this new kingdom is really too much to take in fully. It takes time for us to see the Christian life clearly. And so if you are a Christian, Jesus has performed a miracle on you. So he must get all the credit. You've not done it. He has done it. But you won't understand everything at once. Neither do I. There's an incredible, exciting path of learning ahead. But as Jesus teaches you personally, through the reading of the Word by his Holy Spirit, you will begin to see the way more clearly. And we'll see in a moment that Jesus performs this particular miracle in this particular way for a very special reason. He wants the disciples to learn that, like the blind man, they have seen something of Jesus, but they have a second important vision to get. We'll see what that is in a moment. And we too may understand something of Christ, like the blind man at the first touch, but there's always more to learn of him, much more. Let's give him thanks and praise for the insight that we have already, and pray then for further revelation from his word. So, first episode, seeing who Jesus is not natural because of our naturally hard hearts. By ourselves, it's impossible to become a Christian. Second episode, second paragraph, seeing who Jesus is a miracle. We can't do it ourselves, but he can perform the miracle like he did with the blind man. And now thirdly, that means that seeing who Jesus is possible. And that's what our next little story is about. It's really a momentous story and a very famous one. Look with me, please, then, down to verse 27 on page 1012. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So these are two questions now that Jesus puts to the disciples. The first one is, who do people say I am? That's a fairly safe question, a general knowledge question. It's a bit like me asking you, who won the last election? You either know the answer or you don't. And the disciples answer that some say he's a prophet, like Elijah or John the Baptist. But then Jesus asks a more specific question. What about you? You disciples, who do you say I am? Now that's a very personal question. It's more like me asking, who did you vote for in the last election? So the answer will tell me something about you. And Jesus asks us that very personal question, that revealing question, who do you say I am? Now, Peter, the spokesman for the disciples, answers, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah. Correct. Peter has got it right. And that is why this is such a momentous turning point in Mark's gospel. With this confession of faith, we come to the end of the first half of Mark's gospel. The disciples are now turning a corner. Up until now, they've been very dull and slow to understand about Jesus, but at last, Peter can see who Jesus is. He's the Christ, the Messiah, God's special king, promised in the Old Testament, the one who would be Savior and Lord. I wonder if you can answer like Peter. I hope you can see, as we've been reading through Mark, who Jesus really is. He's the all-powerful Lord who cleanses lepers and heals paralytics and calms storms. He raises the dead like Jairus' daughter. He walks on water. He feeds 5,000. He's the Christ, whom the Old Testament promised would heal the deaf and the mute and the blind. He's the central figure in all of history. I hope that you can see he is God's special king, the Son of God, and that he is your king. Because it's not just a general knowledge issue. You don't want to be able to just say that Jesus is believed to be the Son of God, that he has millions of followers in the world who all believe that he is God's Son. That's general knowledge. But no, the issue is, who do you say Jesus is? It's a very specific and personal question, which requires you to give a specific and personal answer. It's being put to you this morning by Jesus in this reading, the 13th of January, 2019. As God speaks to you through the pages of his word in Mark's gospel. And like Peter, a confession is required that he is the Son of God, that he is your Savior and Lord, that he is the Messiah that you acknowledge as yours. Many others around you will be saying different things about Jesus, like the crowd back then. Some think he's a great prophet, good teacher, one of the best teachers in all of history, a compassionate person who went around doing kind deeds. We see programs on TV which agree that he was a very significant historical figure who greatly impacted the world like no one else. But they cannot see who Jesus really is. And in fact, even Peter here can only see partially who Jesus is. I said a moment ago that becoming a Christian does not mean that you understand everything immediately. Of course not. And it's the same for Peter. Yes, he knows that Jesus is the King. And he can confess him as the Christ. It's a very good start. It's essential. But he does not yet know what sort of king. He's not a resplendent, triumphant king like most kings. No, Jesus is a king who will suffer. And a suffering king is the last thing on Peter's mind. So even Peter only sees Jesus partially. He's like the blind man that we've just been reading about. That's why Mark has told us about this episode. After Jesus had first touched him, like that blind man who saw people blurred, they looked like trees walking around. Peter can see to some extent, his sight is there to a degree, but not to the extent that he knows Jesus will have to go to the cross. In fact, in the next section of Mark, we will find Peter repulsed by that idea. But Jesus himself knows that the Christ must go to the cross and that those who follow him must also suffer. There's a cost to us if we decide to confess and follow a suffering king. And that is why Jesus commands Peter and his disciples not to tell anyone about him. Verse 30. Because they do not yet fully know who he is. Yes, Peter knows that Jesus is the Christ, which we have known as readers from chapter 1, verse 1. Mark told us there, the very start of his gospel, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It has taken Peter 8 chapters to work that out. But now he knows that Jesus is a special king. But what sort of king? Peter does not know that. And it will take the second half of Mark to show us that he is a suffering king, a crucified Christ. And Jesus dare not let his disciples loose on the public with only half a message. Follow the crucified Christ is to be their gospel message. Put your trust in the suffering Christ is the whole challenge. And so this morning, Mark has brought us to the turning point in his gospel, using three episodes, three stories. He's told us first that seeing who Jesus is not natural. It requires supernatural vision to identify Jesus correctly. Even the original disciples could not see who he was and what he was all about by themselves. Secondly, seeing who Jesus is a miracle. If you've become a Christian, Jesus must get all the credit for opening your eyes. Thank him that he has removed the blindfold. But that means that thirdly, seeing who Jesus is possible. You can come to Jesus for that miracle. You can recognize him as the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. So have you done that? Will you do it? Are you bringing others? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Son who came into this world. For the Gospel writer Mark, who has described these many episodes, Lord, who Jesus is. Thank you that he is the one who healed the deaf and the mute, opened the eyes of the blind. But we thank you, Lord, that he's still opening blind eyes, spiritually blind eyes, and we pray that our eyes would be fully opened as to who he is. And just like Peter would be, we would be able to confess Jesus as the Christ and also understand that he is the suffering Christ, and that it is because he went to the cross that he is Savior and Lord. Please bless us as we think on these things further. In Jesus' name.